You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS FM 98.3 and 102.1, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
Words can inspire, words can enrage, words can move us beyond. This is Speaking of Poetry with Ms. Vernell, heard only on Talktainment Radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. You're in touch with Speaking of Poetry. I'm Ms. Vernell, and this is Radio, the way it should be heard. The woman with the foghorn at my older brother's graduation makes it rain confetti on our section of the auditorium. The same woman shows up at my graduation with a cowbell that God hears in heaven. This woman, my mother, is a tornado of excitement, a lightning bolt of sunshine and happiness at the thought of going to anyone's graduation. This is most true if it is that of her own. At my little sister's commencement, she forces me into a two-person wave. When she hears my sister's name, Mama throws her arms in the air, screaming harder than when she gave birth until she gets lightheaded and loses her breath. To say I am a little embarrassed is as true as telling the cop who pulls me over that I'm just a little drunk when I can't touch my own nose. On June 3rd, 1961, little Nancy lays her gown over her arm, holds tight to the tassel and mortarboard. She walks two blocks to Santa Cruz High School. Her palms, normally sweaty in the California heat, are dry as bluegrass in a drought. She wants nothing soiling her diploma. She hears her name, Nancy Bell Singleton, and starts walking across the stage to the low, courtesy claps of her classmates' parents. There is no mother, no sister, no crazy uncle there to witness her moment. It is not worth the journey from Kentucky. By the time she reaches the other side, diploma in dry hand, the silence prize, a tear from her eye, but her chin reaches for the sky. After exchanging last hugs with the other marching band kids, she takes a slow walk back to the house that's more job than home. She is the living help. My mother and I pull into the parking lot of the elementary school. She pulls a giant number one finger from the trunk. I make no protest when she gives me the silver and gold pom-poms. She says, "My baby grandson only graduates from kindergarten once." I'll tell you, this kid really has no idea what Grandma Nancy has in store for him. Hey, I'm Ms. Vernell. That was my latest poem.
All right.
In a series of poems about my mama before she was a mama. But now she is a mama, so whatever. Anyway.
Okay.
But it's like one in like a long series of poems.
Pre-mama.
Yeah, pre-mama. Pre-mama when my mama was pre-mama. Anyway, this is Speaking of Poetry. I'm Ms. Vernell. I have a guest co-host today. He is a very important man in the Central Ohio poetry community. He is the chairperson of the Poetry Committee. Is it the Word is Art Committee?
The Word is Art Stage.
The Word, he's the chairperson of that committee.
Yes.
That plans the Word is Art Stage at the Columbus Arts Festival. His name is Ed Plunkett. Ed, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Awesome, awesome. And so Ed will be sharing with us details of the poetry that will happen at the Columbus Arts Festival as we also talk with our guests for today. They are members of the team from Queen City Slam in, I'm going to say, the original Queen City of Cincinnati, Ohio. Brian, I know you are on the line. What's up?
How you doing, Vernell?
I am doing all right. And who is joining you today, Brian, from your team?
It should be Justin and Calla. I'm not sure if they both were able to call
Justin
in.
Justin's here.
Oh, Justin is here.
Hello.
Hey, so maybe we'll get Calla later on.
Okay, yeah, she actually had to take a bus back to Columbus because she had to stop down here for practice today.
Okay, all right. Well, hopefully we can get to her later. She'll give us a call later and join in. But I am happy that you guys are here. That is Justin, who is the Grand Slam champion for Queen City Slam. Congratulations on that.
Thank you, ma'am. I greatly appreciate it.
You are welcome. And Brian Sullivan, who is the Slam Master.
It's such a special title, right? It is.
It's kind of mysterious and, like, you know, like you walk around with a baseball bat and a journal or something. I don't know.
Right.
I'm thinking maybe that might come from Toastmasters, those people who do public speaking and stuff. I don't know. But anyway, it's a cool title. So welcome, guys. Brian, I'm going to go ahead and start with you. How excited are you that this will be the first time that Cincinnati will be represented at the National Poetry Slam since 2006?
Oh, well, actually, we gotta fix that year. It's 2008, I think. Right, Justin?
Right, 2008.
2008?
Yeah, okay. Would you believe Justin was a part of that team in 2008?
What? I did
Veteran.
Not know. I know.
And I was like, that just changed the show.
It did. It just changed my whole reality.
She's tearing up her notes.
I'm tearing them all up right now. Oh, did you hear that? Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. It's all over with now. Anyway, no, I'm kidding. Well, I mean, that's even better. I mean, 2008 is not as long ago as 2006. So, you know, so Justin, really, you really are the veteran on the team since you have had this experience before.
Sort of, kind of, yes, ma'am. I'm kind of a veteran, but a lot of things changed since 2008. So
true, very true. Yes. Well, I am happy that you guys are going. And Brian, tell me how did all this get started? Because I know, you know, I mean, it's not as if there has not been poetry happening in Cincinnati, you know, all of these years. I know they have been. I've been to some readings, you know. But what made you decide that you wanted to put in the work to get poets organized enough to go and represent the city on the national level?
Okay, well, this actually started when I was first moved out to Cincinnati. I live with my dad in Hamilton, and my ex at the time was really into poetry in New Jersey, and that's where I actually first started becoming more involved with poetry. When I arrived, I had to go out to Phoenix for my job for 3 weeks, and while I was out there, I had a conversation with her about trying to find poetry around the Cincinnati area, because I wanted to move out of my dad's and find a place in the Cincinnati region.
Okay.
As I did some research, I started realizing that the scene had worn down. And there used to be venues over the past couple of years, but there wasn't any sort of word of them.
Yeah.
There was like one that happened to be at the Greenwich, and that was the only one that I knew about. And it was the showcase that happened on like the first and third Sunday of each month. So from there, it just kind of sparked this reaction to try and see if there were any other venues. And my ex, while she was out here, and myself went to different open mics, talked to people just to get an idea as to what happened to the poetry scene. And from there, I started to ask questions of other poets, such as Will Evans in the Columbus area. I had went to visit him in October of 2011. And then I also had a couple of New Jersey poets come out to Cincinnati in December of 2011, and I explained to them how I was thinking about starting up a poetry venue, and they thought it was an excellent idea and gave me some pointers on top of what Will was answering through my questions and email. And he became kind of a mentor for me. And from there, I just started kind of finding out a venue, setting up times, and just kept pushing. And pushing hard with different features, all awesome. Sorts of shows.
Awesome.
And, yeah.
Awesome.
And great.
Awesome. Hang on right there.
Sure.
The Chosen. Do you believe in UFOs? Do you think conspiracies are real? You can decode the hidden meanings of science, religion, and the paranormal. If you are looking for the answer to these or other strange phenomena, then The Chosen is the program you have been looking for. Broadcast live Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, Brian, I think that it is just really fantastic that you saw some space in the poetry scene in Columbus that you felt like needed to be occupied, you know, and one that that connects the Cincinnati poetry community with other poetry communities, not just in Ohio, but really across the country, because that's what happens when you start going to these national events. So kudos to you.
Yes.
Thank you.
When and where are your readings?
They're located at Rostry Cafe. Mm-hmm. It's 245 West McMillan Street, and it's right next to the University of Cincinnati. Readings at the moment are happening at the second and fourth Thursday of each month. I try to stay as consistent with that as possible, unless it's like a five-week month, you know, like five Thursdays or something. But, yeah, that's usually the time, and they start at 8 o'clock. And we also do poetry workshops at 6:30 to 7:30, and we do Saturday afternoon workshops the first and third Saturday of each month from 1 to 4.
Great. And how receptive has the city been to your readings?
It's been kind of back and forth, to be very honest with you. When it first started out, there wasn't a lot of attendance, and it's easy to feel really discouraged, especially since a lot of Cincinnati poets would tell me that, oh, somebody will start up a venue, and then in 6 months, it'll just die out. And once I hit the six-month mark and I knew I was still going, I felt really confident and just kept staying with it. After a year of doing this, the audience has maintained at about 27 to 35 participants.
Okay, that's great.
It's great for the events, and then the workshops themselves on the weekends have been awesome. I've actually noticed growth by people who never thought they would be so involved with poetry before. They love coming out. They love the features. Each one of them has a story to tell, whatever sort of conversation they might have, or just understanding poem structures they've never heard of before.
That's great. It's really great when you see someone come in for the first time who's never really been a poet, let alone read anything in a live setting, and they just blossom. Sometimes
right.
It takes weeks, sometimes it takes months, and it's just really, really great to see.
It is great to see. Well, Ed, I don't know about you, but I would like to hear a poem from one of these gentlemen. Mm-hmm. This is speaking of poetry.
Yes.
Let's just jump right into that. So, Justin, would you like to be first?
Yes, ma'am. I would be honored.
All right.
All right. So this poem is called Decided I Stand, Refusing to Fall. And it's a persona piece of the Confederate flag because I was out with my family members. I was out with my wife and some of my nieces, and I turned around and we saw two trucks branded with the Confederate flag. So I went home and did a piece on it and what it represents, because some people aren't aware of what it represents and why it exists.
All right, let's hear it.
Yes. I stand as a free-spirited reminder now, as I did back then, that the spirit of the South shall rise again. My sleeves snagged by the grasp of a gentle breeze tend to promote a quiver shivering within the peaks of your knees before you ever decide to run away from me. Trying to escape a familiar and predesignated fate which may have dissipated and faded in recent dates as of late, but I stand as a free-spirited reminder now, as I did back then, that the spirit of the South shall rise again. These bars holding these hardened and dimly lit stars are called for recalls, calling for the bars that were clasping your arms in the days that you navigated by and looked for north and nearby stars. My sheet is stained with the blood spilled by where yours you were forced to slain, pours a top worn, taut, tightened, and rusty thing, but I stand as a free-spirited reminder, now, as I did back then, that the spirit of the South shall rise again. I saw your tears well and your eyelids swell as they fell atop the lands you were told to till and tend so the crops could be grown and shelled to sell. And yes, slavery may have died with the ringing cracked liberty bells, but I'm sure you was little sister racism did survive. So please make sure you keep these unobscure memories tucked and tagged on the tails and rags of what you know me to be, the irreverent Confederate flag, because I stand as a free-spirited reminder, now, as I did back then, that the spirit of the South shall rise again. That's that piece.
All right, Justin.
All right.
I know. I lost you a couple of lines. You kind of faded in and out there, but I feel like we have the gist of that poem.
Mm-hmm.
And I love where it came from. I love it when poets write a poem about something they have witnessed or seen or experienced. So was this like a bumper sticker or was it an actual flag?
No, ma'am. It was like an actual flag branded on the back of their, on their back window. So I was like, wow.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, right. Ed has a look on his face.
It's a different culture, isn't it?
It is a different culture. Yeah, it is a different culture. And I remember the first time I went to Richmond, Virginia, and I saw it flying above the Capitol, mm-hmm. you know, and I was like, and then saw all these, you know, black people walking around, you know, on the street. And I'm like, am I the only one who has an issue with this? Like, what do you, I don't understand what's happening in this town. Like, mm-hmm. I don't understand. And then I went into a gift shop and some elderly woman tried to sell me a T-shirt with a Confederate flag on it.
Oh, dear.
I mean, and she was honest and genuine because mm-hmm. she knew I was looking for a souvenir.
Right.
Yeah, from Virginia. So, yeah. And I love the poem, Justin.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, Justin, let me ask you, you know, how has it been thus far? I mean, you were the Grand Slam champion for, you know, for Queen City Slam. So that means you came in first place. That also means you're going to be their rep to IWIPS.
Yes,
yeah, and we'll get to that later. Maybe I'll have you back as a guest as we get closer to that awesome competition.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But what are your expectations this time around?
I really don't know what to expect except that there are going to be some dope poets over there. We just got some work ahead of us, you know. So we're just trying to stay focused and, you know, just involved in our craft and our passion and just trying to do the best that we can do so we can be as prepared as we possibly can be.
What's your practice schedule been? Have you established anything yet?
We've done our best to work around a schedule that fits everybody's needs just because some people are working and some people's schedules are more flexible than others. So we've tried to come to a consensus where we can just sit down and work around dates that work best for everybody. So we've had a couple of practices that some people couldn't make it to and others could. So we're just trying to make sure we get a schedule that's good for everybody and catch everybody up to speed so we can just go and do what we know we can do. So
right. Now, for you personally, has this altered how you write or when you write or anything like that?
It hasn't altered how often I write because I kind of just write, you know, whenever something hits me. But I am trying to make my pieces a bit shorter just so I know for a fact they're in the designated time limit.
No time penalties.
The time.
Your Slam Master will be mad at you if you got a time penalty. I'm telling you.
Especially at a national event.
Absolutely.
Oh, no excuses.
Right. I'm going to ask everybody to hold it right there. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio and the home of Brother K, educating to liberate on Conversate in the AM, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Stay right there. We're going to have Ed share some info on the Columbus Arts Festival. Brian Sully's going to share a poem up next on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
TalkTainmentRadio.com is now more listener-friendly. We've categorized the programs that air on TalkTainment Radio.
Friday, comedy and Showtime Entertainment.
The Children's Hour.
TV.
Confidential.
Hero. Entrepreneur.
Go to TalkTainmentRadio.com and click on programs for times and podcasts. Click Listen Live for current programs being aired. We are the world's greatest radio. Radio the way it should be heard.
The women we love, the women who love us, they are dying. Heart disease is our number one killer, taking more lives than all forms of cancer combined. But we have the power to save those lives, our lives, because the greatest force for women is women. It's time to stand together, to fight harder, to shout louder. It's time to go red for women.
Would your business survive a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency, and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Our lives are affected every day by innovations from the minds of African Americans. Support the United Negro College Fund, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Visit uncf.org or call 1-800-332-UNCF. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Breaking news. There's been a large number of known child abuse going unreported, but Tear Bear wants you to know it's okay to tell.
So let me be abused, not me. Don't let me be abused, not me.
Okay, Tech, it's set me free. Call 1-800-4-A-CHILD.
If you know a child is being abused, please call 1-800-4-A-CHILD. That number is 1-800-422-4453.
It is said it takes a village to raise a child. It's going to take the nation to protect us all.
Brought to you by Fly High and Timber. It's okay to tell. Let's stop child abuse.
Saving energy saves you money. Whether you switch to Energy Star light bulbs, install Energy Star appliances, or add extra insulation. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. This is Miss Brunell on Speaking of Poetry with my guest co-host, Ed Plunkett.
Hello.
Hello. You may join in on the conversation by calling 1-877-932-9766. Oh, and I cannot leave out our two awesome guests today,
no,
Ed.
No, you can't.
I know.
They're still hanging on the line.
I know. I love them. We got both Brian and Justin from Cincinnati. They are on Queen City Poetry Slam team. I said slam a lot right then. But yeah. But it is. It's like Queen City Slam, National Poetry Slam team. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's
there you go.
Anyway, so, and, you know, Brian and Justin, either one of you can answer this question, because I do like when I have, you know, guests on the show who do participate in poetry slams, I really like to try to kind of explore what those motivations are. Why do people do it? I know writer's block is like 17 years old, and, you know, we didn't start slamming though until I think it was 2001. That's when we sent our first team to the National Poetry Slam. I did not start slamming, you know, until around 04-ish as a joke mainly, but I didn't get serious about it until 2006. So I was like really late with wanting to jump in, because I'm like, can't nobody judge my poetry, Ed, Brian, Justin? Can nobody judge me, you know?
Who are you?
Yeah, who are you five judges, you know, randomly selected from the audience?
7.5, give me a break.
Right. Right, you know. So I'm always interested, you know, I mean, now I'm very clear about why I do this. But why do you subject yourselves to having your poetry judged by strangers?
Drunk strangers.
Oh, you're letting Justin answer that one.
Well, me personally, I don't focus on being judged by anybody or anything else. Like, I typically swim just because I want to do what I can to get better. And listening to other poets is a real inspiration for me. And at the end of the day, I'm doing what I'm doing for the glory of God. So it's not a problem for me to be judged by other poets or anything else, just because as long as somebody hears what I have to say, I'm happy no matter what my score is. So.
All right.
Cool.
All right. Brian, what about you as a poet?
As a poet?
Yes.
I personally want to focus on my growth.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I got to tell you, like, I even feel that way, and I'm not trying to, like, go off of being a poet in general, but the fact that I have people who attend the workshops and who will come out to the shows, I want to try and be able to enhance my craft, because I know that I'm sending that sort of message to other people, that I'm not going to be the same poet reading the same poems on the stage, that every time you see me, there's going to be something different, either about the words that I'm using, the way that I might be saying things, or even just the type of poem that I'm using on the stage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I want people to understand that as I go into a slam, I'm always going to try and see how could I better this performance, better this poem, and not even just for that audience, but just for myself, that I know that it has strong lines in it, strong metaphors, strong similes. Everything gets tweaked in some certain way just to help out the venue and to make me feel like I'm growing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, now, Brian, put on another hat as organizer, okay?
All right.
As,
wait, hold on, changing.
Yeah, okay, changing. I'll give you a second to change hats. As an organizer, though, you know, as the person who is putting everything together, inviting everybody out, you know, what is your motivation with hosting a slam? Because you didn't, you also name, I mean, because you don't have a slam every week, do you?
No, actually the slams happen on the fourth Thursdays, usually.
Right. So, you know, so as an organizer, you know, did your first, like, mission was to just want to host a night of poetry in Cincinnati, you know, so that everyone can come out and share? Was wanting to bring an officially sanctioned PSI slam to Cincinnati was part of your original motivation, too? How did that happen?
As I went to shows in Cincinnati, I was like, okay, that's all right. And then I went out to one Wednesday show, I'm screwing up days over here.
That's okay.
When I went up to Columbus, right? Mm-hmm. When I went up to Columbus, I went up on like the second week of the month in October, and it was the first time I'd seen a poetry show that was from a PSI sanctioned venue.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at
Writing Wrongs
Tuesday nights, and I saw how Will would be very energized running up to the stage and the way that the crowd was reacting to that. I loved it. I loved the feeling of being up there.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, there had been like a couple of moments being in Cincinnati where even though I'm hosting a show like that, if I haven't seen it in so long, I feel like I miss it. It's like missing family.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to be around that. I went up to Scott's show that one day just to be in the audience because I just wanted to see family. Like, that's just how it felt to me.
Okay.
You just go up there, you see a show, you see how it's enhanced and how special it is, how everybody's having a good time, and it just reminds you about how much you want to do that for your own venue.
Yeah.
And that's what I would want to bring to Cincinnati. Every time I go into a show, I just want that. Even when I first started out, that's all that I was concerned about. The slam nights would have the same feeling. It's just, I want to still make sure there's structure, mm-hmm. so everybody has a good time and knows what's going on.
Right, right. Well, you know what, that's really great, because I have known, you know, scenes where every time, it's like they're slamming, they're having an actual slam every time. And when you start to get into that, it's like this beast of slam, of competition, of scores, of judges, starts to become more important than the poetry, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And so I think it's fantastic that you have that, but then at the, you know, really at the impetus of your night, that this thing you created, you made it so that you're not slamming every time. You've incorporated workshops to remind people that it is about the poetry. I think you're doing something good down there in Cincinnati, Brian.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I really do. I really do think so. I'm going to ask everybody to take a quick pause. American Red Cross encourages everyone to give blood, make a financial donation, or volunteer to help those in need and change a life. For disaster relief and recovery, call American Red Cross of Greater Columbus at 614-253-2740. All right. Well, I think I had said that we are going to go to Ed, and I want to go to Ed right now, because we're talking about what's happening in Columbus. I mean, in Cincinnati. We're talking about what happened in Columbus, but I'm glad we're talking about what's happening in Cincinnati. But we're also got Ed here co-hosting, and I want to kind of bridge that gap between Columbus and Cincinnati in this conversation, because he is the chairperson for the Poetry Committee of the Columbus Arts Festival.
Yes.
That invites poets from all over the state to come up and check it out. Brian, Justin, have you guys ever been to this event?
No, ma'am.
Sorry, say that again for now.
Have either of you ever been to the Columbus Arts Festival?
No, ma'am.
You know what? I missed it last year, and it's because I was a part of Rust Belt.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you were in the city but didn't make it over. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, if you you should try to come, because, you know, it is really fantastic. I'll let Ed explain how poets end up getting features at the Columbus Arts Festival. But Brian, as an organizer of the Queen City Slam, I'm going to ask you to listen in really good right now, because next year, I would like to see some poets from your venue, you know, representing at the Columbus Arts Festival. So I'm going to ask Ed at this moment, because we have your attention here, and I'm giving you an assignment, Brian Sullivan. I used your whole government name,
if you want to get particular, Brian J. Sullivan Jr.
Okay.
I don't know that you were dead serious.
The whole name. Like,
all right.
Brian J. Sullivan Jr., you know, I'm not going to ask you what the J stands for, because then I'd have to tell him what my J stands for in my name.
I'm Brunel J.
Bristow.
No, yeah. I have a J in my middle name.
Yeah, uh-oh. See, look.
You really have?
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, we're like three J's. We could be like a music group, you know? But I'm very serious, because, I'm going to let you run with this in just a second, but I have to say this, is that being someone who was raised in the greater Cincinnati area, I was raised in Northern Kentucky, but spent so much of my childhood in Cincinnati, that, you know, it has pained me over the years that Cincinnati was not being represented on a consistent basis at these national level poetry events. You know, that's why I'm very excited that, you know, Brian, you are down there in Cincinnati doing what you're doing, because I feel like that city needs to be represented. It's too many good poets in that city. That city is too big, you know, to not be doing it. And so, therefore, with this, even though the Columbus Arts Festival is called the Columbus Arts Festival, but it really is like a national event, because they have artists from all over the country.
Yes.
Who do come to display and sell and show their art, music, but Ed is the man behind the curtain of poetry for the Columbus Arts mm-hmm. Festival. So Ed, I want you to tell Brian how poets end up with features there, so he can make sure next year he has poets who are submitting.
Well, to feature What we do, I mean, we start getting the word out around November, December of each year, and you will submit your work online, two poems, also with a little biography and who you are and where you're from, and that gets the poems all get looked at. They get blind judged. We take your names off of it. We distribute them with just the titles and the poems, and the committee judges that work. After that, we look at the poems, we score them, and this year we got very lucky and very blessed. We had over 60 poets, 66 to be exact,
who
submitted their work, which is the most that I've seen since I've been involved, and the most anyone else can remember. And we had to weed that down to a reasonable amount for an audition day. And you don't want 40 judges to audition 40 poets during the day. We had to break that down to about 30. And we did that, and after that it was a live performance. You know, they came to Columbus. We did it at the Thurber House Annex in an afternoon. We had about 30 poets show up, a lot of other people from the community, and the judging was hard.
Yeah.
And we weeded that down to 21 who will be appearing at the on the Word is Art stage on Saturday, June 8th, starting at 11 o'clock, right. 12 o'clock. And so from 66, we weeded that down to 21, which is, you know, two-thirds of the poets. And there were a lot of good poets who did not make the final stage.
Yeah.
And it was really tough.
Right. Because, so Brian, you got that right. So you know next fall you need to start looking at the Columbus Arts is it the Columbus Arts Festival website or
ColumbusArtsFestival.org? Yes.
Yeah. So that your poets can submit poems to be considered. Okay, I'm giving you an assignment, Brian J. Sullivan Jr.
I wrote this assignment down. I got it down somewhere. It's like okay, next year it must do. Right.
And this is a contest, right?
Yes. Oh, yes. I will admit that most of the poets did come from the Columbus and Central Ohio region. But there are one or two who are from the Dayton area.
Yes.
And I know there's one. I'm just looking at the list here, and I know there is one from the Canton-Akron area also.
Yes.
So it is spreading around.
Yes.
Throughout the state. And we'd love to have people from all over Ohio involved.
Absolutely. And so, like I was saying, it is a contest because the poets are then ranked and they are given their slots based upon, at least the top three based upon their order. And this year's winner, Ed, why don't you tell us who the winner is?
The winner, let's go with third place first.
Okay, all right.
Because these are two poets I wasn't really that familiar with. Are 6 o'clock. The poets, they all get 20-minute sets. From noon till 6 o'clock, those are the top 18 poets. They will be getting 20-minute sets. The top three poets get 30-minute sets, and they get bolded in the program, too. And our third-place poet is James Aaron Tecumseh Sinclair, a poet with a very long name.
Yes.
Who did a very good job. I did not know the gentleman before he showed up at the audition. Very nice guy.
Wonderful.
Our second-place, our first runner-up, excuse me, is Meg Frito. And I know that you're familiar with her work, Fresnel, because she does slam at Righting Wrongs.
She does, and she is going to be, I believe, starting this fall, she will be the new host of Pen and Palette at Trevona.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. So,
whoa.
She is an up-and-comer on the Columbus scene. Very, very energetic, very enthusiastic young woman. And our first-place poet, the 2013 contest winner who got one of her poems in the program for the Columbus Arts Festival also, is Izetta Nicole Thomas.
Yes.
And who is a former co-host of Speaking of Poetry.
Yes, she is. She is. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, I was so busy during the auditions. I was so busy during the auditions, I couldn't hear what everyone was doing, but I heard a little bit of her. I heard a little bit of James Sinclair. There were a couple other new poets on the Columbus scene who got in and who did very well. One of them being Hayden Brown just came in and did a great job. Jennifer Hambrick came in, did a fantastic job.
And I'm going to ask you to pause it right there.
Stop.
TopTainmentRadio.com. That's our address worldwide and locally. We're here 24/7 around the world. Radio, the way it should be heard. Stay right there. I want to tell you why I wasn't one of the names Ed mentioned at the Arts Festival. And we're going to hear a poem from Brian up next on TopTainmentRadio.com.
TalkTainmentRadio.com is now more listener-friendly. We've categorized the programs that air on TalkTainment Radio.
Thursday, techno, money, law, and fun.
Dave Sherman Show.
Three voices.
Information Highway.
Money.
Food. Rap.
Go to TalkTainmentRadio.com and click on programs for times and podcasts. Click Listen Live for current programs being aired. We are the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard.
This moment of uncontrollable laughter was made possible by a 32-year-old man with little to no coordination attempting to execute a simple cartwheel. His name is Sergeant Warner, but young James, our laughing friend here, simply calls him Dad. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. Food for thought.
In 2004, the National Center for Urban Solutions founded the African American Male Wellness Walk Initiative in response to a healthcare crisis in the black community. African American males were and still are dying from preventable illnesses at earlier ages and at higher rates than any other ethnic group. Planning is underway for the 9th annual African American Male Wellness Walk. This is one of several health and wellness events scheduled throughout 2013. Conversations will be held to understand the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, and the third annual golf tournament is planned. For more information about these events and the African American Male Wellness Walk and Initiative, continue to listen to TalkTainmentRadio.com or call 614-754-7511.
That's another Food for Thought. To hear additional Food for Thought, stay tuned to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard. You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. This is Ms. Burnell on Speaking of Poetry, chilling with my guest co-host Ed Plunkett.
Hello, and Streaming with Radio.
Yeah, and two super fantastic poets from Cincinnati, Ohio on the Queen City Slam, National Poetry Slam team. That would be Brian and Justin. What's up, fellas?
Hi.
Hey, you may join in on the conversation by calling 1-877-932-9766. So, Brian, it is time for you to share a poem.
Such a build-up. It's like, oh, my God, what is he going to say?
I know, right. I know.
Awesome. Okay, this is called Pound of Second Chance. The old woman stands, holding her basket, glancing at the young man behind the deli counter. How can I help you? I'm 27. The young man goes to the clicker, presses his finger in four times, so quick she doesn't realize. What is it you needed? 27. The young man points away. The old woman sees red dots showing 2, 7, sharing a black mattress. I hear her. She's crying for youth. Her ticket is not a portal. She will not grow younger from this. Her mind wants to correct wrong. Is it wrong she is older now? Is the number weeping with her? Life rolling around like a shopping cart that doesn't stop. Her basket waits to be filled with brand new options. The deli serves fresh meat. She is shedding with the slices. 27 would be a good age for her. That is 1.5 more years for me. If we were priced for customers, I'd be expensive for demand. She'd be expensive for age, her body waiting to rest like wine in a cellar. Put a label across her forehead, watch the preservation start. at years like slivers of deli meat stacking up until the end is reached. Weigh and bag it. Hand her another week. The expiration won't settle just yet. There is still time. There are mouths to feed. There are grandchildren to educate. She will lie with the slices when her number is called, her toe holding the price tag, her body weighing down the cart, 27 no longer spelled out in dots. She stops clicking. Here you go. Next customer, please.
Oh, right. Brian, where'd that poem come from?
All right, so I was involved in the 30-30 challenge for National Poetry Month.
30-30.
I'm a failure at that every year. I didn't even try this year.
I got about seven.
Now, I would tell you to put a note somewhere for that, because I don't know what it is. I will start off that month and be like, everybody, you need to do this with me. And people will be like, yeah, and they'll start writing, and then trail off, and I'll be like, I'm still doing it. Come on, guys.
And then April 6th comes along, and that's it. You know?
Right.
Oh, my God, yeah. Once you start to get down to that first set, I did my 10 poems. Now, how do I get through the other two-thirds of this month?
Right. Oh, usually, if I can get 5 poems written that month, I'm doing good. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so this was one of your 30-30?
This was one of my, this is actually 29 of 30.
Ooh.
And I came up to day 30 and had 3 poems left to do. Now, I had already started writing number 28, which was a prompt by Rachel McKibbins. And then I was on my way for lunch to go and pick up some lunch meat from the store. And I went to Kroger, and I'm at the deli counter, and that whole scene in the beginning, that actually happened.
Okay.
There was a woman who was standing there. She had her ticket in hand, and she's an elderly woman. She looked like she was probably in her 60s, maybe 70s, and she was talking like that. And I felt her, when she was saying the 27, was just like she wished she could have gone back to that moment.
Mm.
And from there, I just started to immediately, like, as soon as she said those words and that interaction happened, I was like, I found 29. And I went straight back to work.
There you go.
And I finished my shift, and I go to Rose Street Cafe because it's been like this place that I feel creative at, and I'm like, I'm going to just sit down and start writing the dialogue, just
nice.
Those couple of things.
Nice.
From there, broke the idea down.
Isn't it wonderful when a poem just falls from the sky like that? Just lands in the palm of your hand, begging to be written.
Yes. Oh, man, I felt it was like fate right there.
Take their lives. Put it on paper.
Exactly. Oh, people. Oh, I mean, if strangers knew, like if all the strangers got together that ended up in my poems, like overheard conversations.
Stadium full of people.
It would be. Entire personas I've created. Like it would be. I'd be like, why are you, what? That is my life you are writing about. Oh, fantastic. I love it. So, gentlemen, what's next? Justin, what's next for you as a poet? You're on the team. You're going to go to IWIPS in the fall. But what is your, like, next, like, goal for yourself?
Really, my next goal is to just keep writing. God willing, I'll be able to find a job that's suitable with one of my to my degree. Hopefully, I'll be able to teach creative writing at a university level. But other than that, just keep writing, be the best husband that I can be, and keep what it is that God has for me to do. So
fantastic goal. What's your degree in? Let's go ahead and put that out there too, just in case. Yeah.
Well, I have both my bachelor's and my master's are in English with concentrations in creative writing, composition, and
good luck.
Yes.
Good luck with that, my friend. I have a bachelor's and master's in those areas as well, and it is hard.
It's tough out there.
Absolutely, Brian. What is the future for you, and really for your night? Like, what do you hope your night grows? Like, in what ways do you hope that it grows? Like, in the next year or two?
Well, I have a couple of things actually. For starters, I was thinking about having a weekly show instead of a biweekly. I would love to move it into that. It's something that's just been on my mind for a little while. And I think it would be good as far as building attendance and kind of spreading out more of the feature sets, because every second and fourth, I always have a feature. So I would like to still do that, but just have the shows where we can have, like, regular open mic night and maybe shift the slams to the third Thursday instead of the fourth Thursday. And then besides that, to just continue growing, maybe start turning this into a nonprofit, like an actual nonprofit.
Nice.
And somehow get grants and somehow, like, you know, just magically get grants. And,
Just magically fall from the sky like a poem.
Fall from the sky like a poem, yeah. And then get some bigger names in here.